All right, so I did a little Google search for parenting tips and just wanting to have, you know, the best for my kids. I was looking up for some parenting books, and I would like you to know that parenting books on Amazon, there are 40,785. Scream-free parenting is the first one on the list. If that's something that you want to go for, raising your kids by keeping your cool. We have how to talk to kids so kids will listen, and listen so kids will talk. That's a novel approach. We have the whole brain child, 12 revolutionary strategies to nurture your child's development. How about the happiest toddler on the block? How to eliminate tantrums and raise a patient. I don't know the rest of it. There must be a patient kid or something. Here's one that might be intriguing. Simplicity parenting, using the extraordinary power of less to raise calmer, happier, more happy children. I could keep going for a long time, but I really just wanted to get to this one. It hurts when I poop, a story for children who are scared to use the potty. There's all kinds of things going on in our life. There's toddlers, and there's tweens, and there's teenagers, and then they go off into the world, and you are left trying to navigate how do you parent. And I think my mom and dad had to do more parenting with the adult children than they ever did with us growing up. Today, thinking about moms, I've had this sort of idea that I wanted to share for a while. And here is my fear, that today's message will be heard as Jordan encouraged the moms to do more cooking. If that is the message received, it's because Dick Stouter put me up to it, and you can blame him. But that's not the message I'm trying to communicate. But this morning, I want to talk about a simple, simple thing that will help all of our families function in a God-honoring way. And there, I'm going to share some information that I have come across that has been helpful to me. And it's really, today's message is all about the importance of the family meal. When I sit around the table with my children, I can about guarantee there will be several things that are a common occurrence. Oliver will refuse to eat his vegetables. Ellie will boast about how many vegetables she ate. And Audrey will throw her vegetables on the ground and start crying and say something hurts. And so most of our family dinner time is rather stressful. And it's not always like, you know, I know that you have the vision of your minister and his family and his kids are perfection. And you can go ahead and go off in la-la land and believe that. But really, there's just genuine parenting moments that happen every day around our table together of just trying to help our kids eat a healthy meal, help our kids process their day, and talk to each other. We like to spend time around the table together telling stories. And so we like to take a moment to say, all right, Oliver, what do you want in the story? And he usually wants an elephant or a princess or something. And then Ellie will say what she wants, and Audrey will sputter off something we're not sure exactly, and we'll try and formulate that into a story, and everybody gets a chance to tell a story. Or we'll play 20 questions together, and Audrey, she turns 20 questions inevitably into I spy something blue. And she doesn't quite get the 20 questions yet. But it's an opportunity for us as a family to reconnect. It's an opportunity for us to grow and encourage each other. And so this morning, I want to talk about the importance of the family meal. I was kind of tuned into this because I was given an opportunity to sort of think a little more deeply about our families and our community and how we can help our families best. And so in my research, I happened across the importance of the family meal. And so I have kind of my instincts that it's important, but I want to share some data with you. So if you've been concerned about our culture, if you're concerned about our kids, if you're concerned about their well-being, then this information might be helpful. And I promise I will turn it into a sermon. But right now it might feel like a TED Talk, not a boring lecture. But So frequent family meals and their benefit. Here's an information from the American College of Pediatricians. This is what they are teaching pediatric doctors about the importance of the family meal. So go ahead and start going through that. So if you have a frequent family meal, and that's defined as three family meals together, three dinners together as a family a week, these are some of the benefits. Teens who have frequent family dinners are likely to get better grades in school. The language development is enhanced because of the conversations at the dinner table. What kind of words are kids learning around the dinner table? Some of them probably bad, but they are picking up on a few good ones too. We have better family discussion. More family talk occurs during mealtime than during any other activity, including playing with toys and even storybook reading. Children, they learn about healthy nutrition. Children's ages 9 to 14 who have more regular dinners with their families have more healthy dietary patterns, including eating more fruits and vegetables, less saturated and trans fat, fewer fried foods and sodas, and lower glycemic load and more vitamins. I don't know what half of those words mean, but it sounds really good that our kids would be healthier. And I think about this, like when we are sitting around the house and Oliver, he goes to the cupboard and he goes and grabs a snack or whatever, it's not necessarily always a healthy snack that he's going to get. And I can put the halt on it and say, whoa, 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 Oliver, we're going to have dinner in a few minutes. And so it's like he can put the package of marshmallows away because you think I'm kidding about that. They think that an afternoon snack is marshmallows. We hide them for campfire time, but somehow these kids have these little sugar sniffers on them and they can find it. Are you parents with me on this? All right, so having that meal time, having that set time, I'm able to say to my kids, whoa, we're going to have dinner. You don't need to be grabbing a hold of that. That can be for dessert, right? And so you can just tell that there would be healthier kids. Preschool-aged children are less likely to be obese if they're regularly eating the evening meal as a family, obtain adequate nighttime sleep, and have limited screen time viewing time. There's 40% less occurrence of obesity in those who are exposed to these three routines. Children are 12% less likely to become obese just by eating a family meal. I think, keep going. There's tons of information. We've probably cycled through a little bit quicker. Teens, if you're having problems with your teens, have dinner with them. 1.5 more times more likely to have an excellent relationship with their mother, 2 times more likely to have a better relationship with their father, 2 times more likely to have an excellent relationship with their siblings. I don't know that I believe the last one, given how our whole things go down, but I can remember just growing up, we had to have assigned seats at the Eckes dinner table. Jacob had his spot over in the corner, and that was where he was best. Dad sat between Jacob and I because if we were within arm's reach of each other, we would have hit each other. But we learned to have a relationship and get along with people around a dinner table. Think about all that happens around the table. Teens, they were surveyed. They state they like family meals. 71% of teenagers in one survey said they consider talking and catching up and spending time with family members as the best part of their family dinners. Let's keep going. Family meals, they offer emotional benefits. It just helps kids process information. It helps kids feel support and encouraged. Next one. This was from the Barilla, it's probably Italian and I don't know how to pronounce it, but that company that sells spaghetti noodles, they did a research study and they hired Dr. William Cohen to do it. And he says the results are in that there's feelings of closeness, there's appreciation, and there's relaxation for families who have frequent family dinners. Go ahead and keep going. Cohen, he did a study and he wanted to ask these kids what made for a great family dinner. And I know that all the moms are thinking, okay, Mother's Day, I got to make sure there's a great meal today. I'm sure you're not thinking that, but what makes a great family dinner time? They asked this question, and there was the list of things. We laughed, we ate in the same room, we used conversation starters, we chose the meal together, that whole list. And here's the results of what made for a quality dinner We ate in the same room. We laughed. We were included in the conversation. And we were all relaxed. How you get all your kids to relax around the table, I'm not sure. Probably not marshmallows as a appetizer would help in that. But that's the key to a quality dinner with your family. We ate together. We laughed. You know, it's like you think about sometimes in the family, like when we get pizza, there's some universal code about pizza that says you don't have to sit around the dinner table, right? It's like, we have pizza. Let's go to the TV. Let's go to our own places. The best place for your family to be to have a quality dinner together is around the table. We laughed. We ate. We were included in the conversation. We were all relaxed together. That's what all the teenagers and all the kids said were the things that made their dinner, that helped them be the happiest and enjoy it the most. All right, here we go. Next one. There are things that war against the family dinner, and it's our schedules. And I have a 8, 5, and 3-year-old, and I'm anticipating that the 8-year-old is going to start engaging in all kinds of things. And so many of our families know the routine that Jordan's saying, hey, let's have more frequent family dinners, and we spend the next 4 nights are going to be at the Ball Diamonds, and the other nights we're going to be going and taking care of other things. And the idea of saying, okay, have more frequent family dinners together seems like an impossible thing. And the reason why we put our kids in all these extra stuff is because we believe that they offer a value to our kids that we ourselves can't offer. And kids were surveyed, and it's which activities kids can do on weekday afternoons contribute most to helping with each life skill or asset. So you want to teach kids life skills like safety and security, positive role models, optimism, physical health, empowerment, coping with stress, empathy and creativity, finding your passion didn't fall on that realm, but they were close second. But if you want to teach your kids coping with stress and physical health, we would think maybe that would be best learned on the football field. Maybe it'd be best learned of going to practice. The results are in the kids' state that they had more security, they felt like they had better positive role models and optimism, physical health, empowerment, and coping with stress by having family dinners at home together. More so than sports and team lessons and music and art and dance and scouts and clubs. I think it's important that scouts and clubs taught empathy. A leader helping those kids, a positive role model in those situations, teaching kids about empathy. So this is not me saying, hey, don't put your kids in sports. This is me saying the best thing you can do for your kids is have a family dinner with them every week. I think that's my last slide. No, it's not. So when families regularly share meals together, everyone benefits. The children, parents, and even the community. Making the family table a priority from an early age can serve as a vaccine against many of the harms that come to children from a hurried lifestyle. Pediatricians should inform parents of the benefits of the family table and regularly encourage its implementation in a day when the digital distractions are rampant. The simplicity of this concept can be refreshing and encouraging to parents. There are enough self-help books to fill a library, and Americans support a multi-billion dollar weight loss industry, and yet the simple act of sitting down to share dinner with your family makes people happier and healthier. That's from Dr. William Doherty. And so friends, this morning, as I'm quickly running out of time, but I just want to share with you and encourage you to have a family meal together. There is a biblical argument to be made for it. When God instructed his Israelites to follow the law of God in Deuteronomy 6, we're told the greatest commandment, and he said, talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. A family together around the table is a place and opportunity to teach your children about God. It's a place to welcome those who are outside of Christ. Jesus, go ahead to the next slide. We have in Luke, Jesus, he spent time with sinners, and he comforted those who were ousted from the community, those strangers and those who are broken. Jesus welcomed them around the table. And the story we find in Luke chapter 5, it says, go back. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at the tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Jesus found the table a place to minister to those who are hurting most in this world. The table is a place to connect with fellow Christians. If we look at Acts, go ahead and go to Acts 2. They devoted themselves, this is the beginning of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread together, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. And this was their life together. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. The life of the early church was around a table and breaking bread and studying of Scripture. So the table is a place to teach our children about God. It's a place to welcome those who are outside of Christ. It's a place to connect with fellow Christians. What joy it is to sit around the table in our small groups and sitting around the table together with new people who are part of our church family. What a joy it is to reconnect with fellow Christians around a lunch together. A place to break bread and give thanks for God. There is, at the table, a moment to be grateful, to be thankful. In the story on in Mark 8, it's the story of Jesus feeding 4,000. And when Jesus gets the bread, what little bread he has, he gives thanks for the bread. And when he has the small fish in his hand, he gives thanks, and there's an overabundance. We have a funny way of giving thanks. I don't know why we say this, but who's ever said the prayer, "Thanks God for, thank you God, and please bless the hands that prepared the meal." Why don't we bless the whole person? Why just the hands? Like they got their hands all over that. Please God, bless it, make sure it's clean. And we have a funny way of praying for all kinds of foods. When we have really unhealthy food, we like, you know, it's like we pray and thank you, God, for this meal. And we almost like beg God to make it a little more nutritious. And it's like we have the pile of Cheetos over on the side. And it's like, God, please just really bless this meal and let it really nourish us and give us the strength that we need this day. Like, we're asking God to really perform a lot of miracles on the meals that we prepare for ourselves. But when we come together around the table, it's an opportunity to give thanks for those who have served. It's an opportunity to give thanks to God for his provision. And it's something that I want to challenge us to do. So there's going to be a few challenges the rest of the way here. And the first challenge is pray for every single meal. And yes, I'm even saying pray for the fries when you go through the drive-thru. Just take a minute. I know that we feel like we're excused from having to pray for finger food, but you pray for that too. And so my challenge is that you would pray for every single meal and give thanks to God for his provision. My challenge is also, over the next month, would you commit yourself to having 3 family meals together in a week? If it's at all possible, do the best you can. And it doesn't matter if it's not dinner. You can count breakfast. I'm not going to be like, you got to be, you know, it's like if the only time that works for you, like I realize it's family schedules, it's work schedules, it's not easy. And there's so many things vying for our time and attention and devotion. And if we as a group of people would say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate myself to time around the table with my family, some great things will happen over a long period of time. And so commit to making yourself available to 3 family meals together a week. And there's some rules, I think, that make it for a quality time. Remember, the quality time of it was, and what made it great, was that they were all at the table together, that they felt like they were a part of the conversation. And one of the things that really kills conversations around the dinner table is devices and technology and things and not being present with the people around the table with us. And so just have a no technology rule. Don't sit in front of the TV and say, there, we appeased Jordan, we had our family dinner, and we were watching Amazing Race or whatever. I don't know what families watch together. I would watch American Idol. It's coming back, did you hear? It's going to be on ABC. But, sorry, I had a little ADD moment there, but Diane and I connected. That's one of our shows. And so when we think about what can we do to help make these things happen, it can be any meal that we can be together and just focus on each other and encourage one another. And I want to issue another challenge. As Jesus opened the table that all people were welcome, let's open our home table, a meal together with someone who isn't a Christian. Let's open our table to those who are Christians. Commit to praying at every single meal. Even if you're at a meal with someone who isn't a believer, you can just blame Jordan and say, my minister, he wants us to pray for every meal. You may not be comfortable with that, but I'm going to pray, and is there something I can pray for you for? Make every meal an opportunity to pray and thank God. And so, really just kind of next steps, what will this look like for you to prioritize the family meal? There's questions of who will it involve? How often can you meet? What do you need to do to create the necessary margin in your life? What do you need to get rid of so that you can prioritize the family meal? And maybe perhaps the most difficult thing is help. I don't have a family. And I want to say, yes, you do. There are plenty of people in this room that together we could have family meals together with you. We were fortunate enough to have Robin and Zach over this week and around our dinner table. And my kids were blessed to have them have a meal with us. And I think they were really blessed to have me at the table. I mean, but we think we might be sitting there and saying, man, I don't have the opportunity. And this message really missed the mark. And I sure hope it doesn't. Every single meal, I'm taking a little bit of food from everything that we prepared, and I put it in my fridge, and it sits there for a whole week, and it never gets eaten. Somebody could have had a place at my table, at my family's table, and had that meal. And how much more blessed would my kids have been to have some of the sweet ladies in our church family be at the table with us. And so, Wendy, I didn't run this by her, and maybe I should, but there's always an open seat at our table, and you have my number, and this is an open invitation. There is always a place for you. I could have thrown one more burger on the grill last night. I'm not very good at, like, glycemic index, and I'm not really good at being sensitive to allergies, and so bear with me. But there's a place at our table, and I would just ask, is there a place at your table for your church family? Let's be open and encourage one another. And here would be a sort of commitment that we could make together. Would we be a church family that eats together? The statistics show how important it is for our kids to have the family dinner together. I couldn't find the study for the church, but how important would it be for the church family to have a life together? Annie's probably hungry too. All the food talking. I'm sorry, Jared. You're being a good dad. How important for the church family would it be if we were to say and commit ourselves to saying we're going to be a church family that eats together? What growth, what encouragement, what nurturing, what emotional health, what spiritual health would come if we'd be a place who says, there's a place at our table for you. So pray at the dinner. Prioritize it. Make it a part of your life. And if you feel like there's not a place there is. It's 214 West Broadway Street. And I might need to ask for a raise if we get too many there, but there's always enough for at least one more plate. And I think about that story of Jesus just praying over the meal, and God knows I could probably cut back my portions a little. But friends, there is a place at the table, and God will bless and God will provide what we need around the table to bless our church family. And so, in conclusion, Mother's Day is about moms cooking more. So, yeah, I'll pay for that one later, and I'm just kidding. Mother's Day is about all of us looking and recognizing and realizing how important it was that our moms took the time to make a meal for our family and to sit around a table together. The blessings and the nurturing and the caring and the love. And I would say that that should be the embodiment of a church who loves the Lord their God with all of their heart, would have an open place at the table for whoever needs it. Let's pray for one another. Let's ask God to bless a new endeavor together, to be a group of people who share in a meal together. Let's remember Christ at this time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church body. I thank you for the friendships we have. God, that we can call each other family, trusting and knowing, God, that you care for us and that you want to build up your church family. I'd ask that you would bless this endeavor, that God, as we seek to have a place at the table, for those who are hurting, a place at the table for those who need to grow closer to you, a place at the table for our long-lost friends, a place at the table for just our Christian brothers and sisters who we want to encourage. God, let us move forward being grateful and thankful. Let us move forward trusting and knowing that there's opportunities around the dinner table to tell our children about you and your love for us. God, for those this day that would feel like they don't have a place, let them find grace and mercy and love around our home tables and around the table of communion. God, that there's a place for all of us here in your kingdom to be your citizens, to be loved by you. So let us move forward, Lord, grateful, thankful, and creating great opportunities, quality time with our family to nurture and care for one another. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
of praise and thanksgiving on this Mother's Day. This is from Tracy Stansel and her family. We want to say thank you so much for helping ours. On behalf of my family and myself, we want to thank you for all of your prayers and generosity. My siblings and I have really been trying to use this opportunity to show my mom and stepdad how great God's love and mercy is. We are overwhelmed at the outpouring of love and kindness. With the benefit and yard sale, we were able to raise almost $13,000. We couldn't have done it without your help. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. And Jill, we got a praise from her. Oh, there you are. I was looking in the wrong area. You might have moved spots. But praise, thank you for all of your prayers. My mom is on to the road to recovery again. So praise God. So we have lots of prayers to keep lifting up. Keep thinking of my friend Wes and keep praying for him and helping recover and pray for our church family. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we trust in you and we give you praise and thanksgiving. And may the seeds that we've sown with Tracy's stepdad and mom, may we please, Lord, just we pray that those seeds would bear fruit for you. God, for your glory and your honor. And we praise you and we give thanksgiving, Lord, that you have given help to Anita. And we pray for her continued recovery. And we thank you, Lord, for Jill and her witness and testimony of your love and your faith. We pray for our church body and please be with us in health and in spirit, Lord, that we would be confident in walking faithfully with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us?